you know what I loved about the Milwaukee game? Absolutely loved. And I had the chance to talk to Jaylen Brown after the game. It was the little dust up he had with Giannis.
Yeah, where I'm sure you talked to him
he
about
set a pick on Giannis. Giannis felt like it was an illegal pick and got up and gave Jaylen a little forearm. And did Jaylen back off? No, walk right up to him. I said, that is the makings of winning a championship right there. Yep. That's the makings right there.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
Back with another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. I am Josue Pavone. He is, of course, Cedric Maxwell. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everyone. Hope everyone had a really good weekend. Fun weekend. I'm sure Celtics fans enjoyed themselves because of what happened here in Boston. We'll get into that. Also, Max, I want to hear how was Christmas? You know, first and foremost, Merry Christmas. How was how did everything go? What did Santa get you this year?
Bah humbug. Bah humbug, Josue. I am not I'm not particularly a Christmas person. I respect the religious holiday, but all the gift giving and the cold weather and trying to find things for people, it hasn't been a turnoff since I had little kids. When I had little kids,
I know you're more of a Thanksgiving guy, but geez,
I'm a Thanksgiving and. And Thanksgiving gets such a short lease. You get that one day, you go right into Christmas music. So I'm not a particularly fan of it, but it floats other people's boat, and I'm okay with it.
What about the years when you first were introduced to a Christmas in Boston? Tell me about that. That must have been different for you coming from North Carolina.
First, when I was introduced here in Boston, I was a young adult, so it's still pretty much was the same way. I didn't see it as any, holiday that I wanted to run around and go to the store.
Well, I mean, like the white Christmas, the snow and everything. I'm not just talking about the people, Max. I know you're about to say, is there a Max joke in there somewhere?
Those ways, very seldom we've had a white Christmas here in Boston. We've had some cold Christmas here in Boston. And matter of fact, for the most part, the Celtics have not been in town. You said the last 6 years, I think the Celtics have had a Christmas game and it's been home. Most of the games we've had have been in New York. It's been in L.A. You got Christmas game because they're a popular team. So we don't do Christmas here.
I didn't know you were such a Grinch about Christmas, man. This is new to me. I didn't know.
Man, one of my favorite movies, The Grinch That Stole Christmas.
That's you.
I must stop.
You never actually talk about it much.
From coming, I must stop it from coming. So, little Cindy Who, and all the Who's in Whoville. I'm good.
I'm not even,
but you know what I love? Let me tell you what I did love about the Christmas time and NFL has changed that because at one time during the Christmas. Holiday season, you had all these playoff games. And it was really cool to the 24th or 23rd, whatever it was, to have those games. And then to have, NBA games, it was really cool. But now that the NFL has decided to add some more games, they don't get through playing until after Martin Luther King weekend. So they kind of took that sports weekend from me.
Yeah, but you still get the best of both worlds, right? The NFL fans are happy. You still got that Christmas time. We got some games all day. I like how it's back to back for NFL.
Well, you know what? Find me a Patriot fan right now that's happy out here. Okay, just find me one of them. All right.
They were the Grinch before Christmas. All right.
They were upset. They are snarling right now.
I'm not even gonna ask. I don't even want to ask what your favorite Christmas song is or Christmas movie. You're probably not even a big fan.
No, actually, I do. It was by Nat King Cole. My mom just sing it to me all the time. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Yeah. There you go.
Is that it?
That puts you in the spirit.
No. Was that it? I don't even know if that was it. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. No, it wasn't it by Nat King Cole. You know what? I forgot it now. But Nat King Cole was my favorite, you know, singer when it came to Christmas songs.
Well,
because that was one. That was it. Chestnuts roasting.
I was going to say, that's probably the one that everyone, the Nat King Cole that, yeah.
Yeah. Jack Frost nipping at your toes. Now that is the one song. Now the Mariah Carey, good.
No. That's not it for me. Yeah.
I think my broadcaster partner, Sean Grandy, used to love, Christmas in oh, was it Harlem? What was that? That song.
Oh, Hollis. Run DMC.
Run DMC.
That's classic.
That's your go-to at Christmas? Really?
I mean, it's one of them. I mean, look, the NBA, every year you hear that when they got the games lined up. So
that's your go-to at Christmas. That's your go-to at Christmas? That's where you're going?
No, not my go-to. It's probably it's up there. What about This Christmas? That's a good one.
No, I'm just not that spirit does not hit me. Thanksgiving is my favorite, followed closely with the 4th of July, because those holidays are clearly about going to somebody else's house or at your house or at your mom's house and sitting down having great food. Telling stories with the family is just chock full of love. Have maybe a little bit more. I have three granddaughters now who are all young, and to see my 2-year-old granddaughter just be so excited about a couple of gifts. Saw a video of that. That was pretty moving. But this doesn't do one for adults and passing gifts. It just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, it's more about the kids. I mean, that's what it is. As you grow up, it's not quite the same. But hopefully, the Celtics cheered you up, because that was quite a win they put together against the Milwaukee Bucks. Man, Jason Tatum getting it done, 41 points. Yeah, 20 in the third quarter. The Celtics beat the Bucks. Man, look, 139-118 was the final score. We're all talking about where that offense is that we saw in the first month of the regular season. To do it against Giannis and the Bucks. I mean, Giannis finished with 27, but it took him close to 27 shots to get there, right?
But aren't we?
Why was it so hard for Giannis?
Aren't we about two games away from being in full panic mode with the Celtics, losing the three in a row, where people were like Joe Mazzulla, oh my God, he can't coach in this team, and da da da.
It was five out of six. Man.
I mean, that's the crazy part. You know, to think then this team still had the best record, and people all of a sudden were just, just taking a dump on this man. Like, he didn't know what he was doing. The Celtics weren't any good. But you know what I loved about the Milwaukee game? Absolutely loved. And I had the chance to talk to Jaylen Brown after the game. It was the little dust up that he had with Giannis.
Yeah, where I'm sure you talked to him
he
about
set
it.
A pick on Giannis. Giannis felt like it was an illegal pick and got up and gave Jaylen a little forearm. And did Jaylen back off? No, walked right up to him. I said, that is the makings of winning a championship right there. Yeah. That's the makings right there.
You were talking about that last year, Max. When are you going to see them do something like that? Whether it's Jaylen or Jaylen.
It was, and then after the game, talked to Jaylen about it. He said Giannis got up and he just lost his mind. He said, I was looking for it. He said, you know, he want to bring it like that. He said, there ain't going to be no backup here. He said, I want it all day. I want that smoke. Right. So if there was one real thing in that game that really teed me up, it wasn't about them scoring, wasn't about their defense, but it was more about, you know, his little dust up with Giannis. Now, what I did see break down the game is, tell you who's having a remarkable year so far. Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart is having a drop a dime, play defense, pass first, shoot second. And I said, you know, some of our guys on my rate, people like Adam Jones, who has been killing Marcus for the last 3-4 years about his ability not to, not to pass the ball, but looking to shoot first. He has been more of a facilitator. And he has really run that offense really well. And that to me was, that was the exceptional part about watching these two teams play.
Yeah, I feel like it was easy to overlook Marcus's absence when the Celtics were losing 5 out of 6 games, right? I mean, you take away that Jason Tatum performance in L.A. against the Lakers. If he doesn't do that, we're talking about a 6-game losing streak. And then it would have really felt like the sky was falling. But, yeah, to your point about Jalen, though, 100%. I mean, that's the heart. That's the kind of message you have to send to the team that everyone's comparing to you, right? Oh, yeah, the Celtics are great, but they haven't played the Bucks. Like, that was the narrative for the first couple of months of the season. The very first meeting of the season, again, Chris Middleton or not, the Celtics, in my opinion, sent the message because it was Tatum versus Giannis toe-to-toe. And I think Tatum sent the message. Obviously, that 20 points in the third quarter went a long way. But Jaylen Brown delivered in the fourth quarter in a big way as well. I mean, that's the firepower that, let's just face it, the Bucks just don't have that. Middleton or not, the team that's currently constructed right now is better than Milwaukee's. The Celtics, if you compare the two teams right now, I don't think people can make that debate. Whereas a couple of weeks ago, there was a lot of people saying, well, wait a minute, hold the phone here. The Milwaukee Bucks are still number one. If not, they're right there challenging the Celtics.
Well, here's the thing. Let's go back in that flashback machine. When was the first time you sent that message to your brother, Joel? You remember this? do you remember the first time?
Oh, the first time
I've had enough of your shit. Okay, let's do it. You know, and all little brothers always remember that. My brother remembered that, but do you remember that moment?
I do. It was middle school for sure. I want to say what, 12, 13? No, 12, something like that. 6th or 7th grade, you know, once the bass came in, you know, the bass comes into the voice and you start pushing back a little bit. Yeah, I say it was around there.
Well, what happened? I know you remember exactly what happened.
Well, you know, boys will be boys, Max. Come on, you want me to paint the picture? You
know, yeah, I want you to paint the picture. You know, like mine was.
You know, the older brothers sometimes they expect the younger one to submit. No, I'm talking about like a couple of put downs, and then that was the day I struck back. I struck back that day.
Yeah, and that's the message that I think when we talk about striking back in basketball. For this team. I think that they have to have some of it. And more than anything, it has to come from their star players. I mean, we saw Sneaky Al last year, you know, get Giannis pretty good with the elbow in the mouth. And that was really, but you have to see Tatum and Brown. Those are the guys right now that set the table and set the tone for the rest of your team. You know, everybody right now is talking about, well, they're not even talking about Milwaukee right now. The team they're talking about, they're talking about how great Philly is playing. And, you know, how Joel Embiid has found a magic and James Harden, they're playing great together. And the Knicks were playing great for a while. And, you know, people are looking at the team that the Celtics got to dismantle, Brooklyn. They're saying Brooklyn is going crazy right now.
Yeah, so your boy Stephen A. Smith mentioned
yeah, that. Yeah, I mean, it's got really interesting right now in this Eastern Conference. Like, who's the big dog right now? You know, with some of these teams, the way they've been playing. I thought Toronto had a little run for a minute, but then they seem to have fallen off the bat. But the big four right now, I would say, would be Brooklyn. It would be the Celtics. It would be Milwaukee. And do you want to say Philly? But then if you say all that, are you canceling out Cleveland way they've been playing?
That's true. And if you're Celtics, you know better than anybody, right?
Is Cleveland on that tier that you look at and going, don't sleep on Cleveland?
They're in the conversation. They have to be in the conversation. I mean, look what they're doing defensively. They're one of the best, if not the best defensive team in the NBA right now. Like, that's going to go a long way in the Eastern Conference, as competitive as it is. But, you know, Max, with that being said, does that overshadow this Celtics win over the Bucks? When you look at it across the East, you know, the Knicks went on that humongous winning streak. The Cavs are in the mix. No, it's still a big win, right?
No, it was a huge win for the Celtics, and I think a huge win for the national audience, because you couldn't come into Christmas Day game and be one of the big dogs and lay an egg right in your living room. You couldn't be the dog to take to put a big turd right in the middle of the floor. You couldn't do that if you were the Celtics.
You would have been upset.
Yeah. So I think the Celtic fans, I think the fan base, I think the Celtics themselves, the media, and people around the country were waiting to see exactly what the Celtics were going to do. And their performance was really a good one. Chris Middleton, yes, he's a difference maker when it comes to scoring. But I believe, like you, the Celtics right now are the better team. Want to see what Philly has right now with Harden, the way they're going. Are you still believing right now that people are saying that Brooklyn constituted? But, Simmons hasn't even really played. And they're saying, are the Celtics good enough to beat them? I think the Celtics are a much better team than Brooklyn.
You think that at this point, when you think about the way the playoffs ended for the Bucks and with this matchup, do you think the Celtics are in like Giannis's head right now? Is that what happened, or did the Celtics just play a really good game plan in the sense of just throwing different bodies at him and their coverage? Mm-hmm. Because I mean, he did get some looks too as well, but he just couldn't knock down shots. And I feel like the Celtics
he's not allowing him
to take those shots. You know,
but he's not a jump shooter. His forte is running an open court. That's where he is the most dominant player in the world. When he's running he's in the open floor and he's Euro-stepping you and you're backing away and him taking off from the free throw line, that's the best version of Giannis. When you make him become a jump shooter, standstill jump shooter, that's something he doesn't do. And you think about the three-point shot he shot, one of the first ones he shot it about 3 feet short, three-pointer that nobody was up on him. So if you're the Celtics, you say, take the jump shot, we'll try to contest, and what I'm going to do is box out. Grant had a good game, too. Grant came back with a nice performance also.
This new episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season, everything from NFL and bowl season to esports. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. We're the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite leagues and events. Head to BetOnline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Yeah, Grant was big in that matchup. He's going to be, if this team were to get into a best of seven series, but I just wonder if the Celtics are, if they're in Giannis's head at this point, with everything that's happened, he's thinking to himself, man, I got no Middleton here. Where's the second weapon? Man, Jalen was what, 11 for 19 or something like that? Yeah, 11 for 19, 27. Who is he getting that from on the Milwaukee Bucks? Drew Holiday's good. Don't get me wrong. Drew Holiday's good, but that kind of offensive firepower, Max, the Celtics almost scored 140 points.
Is he looking for the next banana? Who's been Lopez? Lopez has been that guy who has been able to come in and knock down shots. But the Celtics have done a nice job of just being up in his face and making it a little bit tougher on him. So I love the opportunities the Celtics have. And Rob seems like he's starting to fit into what this team wants him to do. He's still not comfortable with his offense. He's still a little overhyped right now on the defensive end, trying to block everything. But what we've seen from Rob is he has been very, very active. And, I really like that. And then two people talk about Joe Mazzulla, what he hasn't done. And well, I think he's coached well. And I think he's utilized his bench well. When you think about some of the things like Blake Griffin, the way he's played Blake, he hasn't thrown him in at the end of a game, a useless game. He starts him. He plays him quality minutes. And I think because of that, I think he's still confident. Blake is still confident. The team is still confident in what Blake can do for him, because Blake's going to win a couple of games for you this year. Somehow, be it taking charges, knocking down a couple of shots, his hustle play around the rim. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I love seeing Blake get those minutes, you know, those opportunities, because he can give you that sort of edge, right? Especially if he gets on a streak, and he's a good passer. He can fit into the flow of the offense. He can guard multiple positions. I mean, that's good for Blake. I'm glad he was able to get some more playing time there. But you know what, Max? After the game, you'd be surprised by this. Well, maybe you're not going to be surprised, but Marcus Smart sent off a series of cryptic tweets talking about his future, talking about, how things are going to be different. And then it all turned out to be, in the last tweet, was a proposal. Or he had already proposed. It was an announcement that he's engaged with his girlfriend. And, man, my first thought was, imagine if he let that sit there for the rest of the night and then did it in the morning. Man, yeah. Everybody would be going crazy on Twitter.
Yeah.
But congrats to Marcus Smart, man.
I mean, he still has a platform. I can't believe this is his ninth year now. Playing with the Celtics. And some people say that he was really insulted about a year and a half ago. He came on air with us and he talked about our guy.
Oh, that's right.
Sherrod. And was it the Garden Report?
The Garden Report, yeah.
Garden Report kind of, you know, shit on him. And he was like, you know, told A. Sherrod, you know, shut your fucking mouth. I was like,
tell all of them. That's right.
All you Garden Report dudes over there. So, you know, I know Nick Jolts will probably love that, but man, that was something. And he's bounced back. And no, he's not as quick as he was, but I think he's just as smart. He's just, his tenacity is still there. And his basketball IQ to me has gone up even more so as a quarterback for this team. I happened to talk to him last year before this, about this time when the Celtics were about to streak. And I'll tell that story again. I asked Marcus, 1 o'clock in the morning, he and I on the elevator in Orlando. Now, you would say, why are you and Marcus on the elevator? Well, it was, we had just landed in Orlando and we happened to be going down at the same time to get our bags. And Marcus, I said, Marcus, you know, your team is playing pretty well. You know, what would you say about that? He said, that's what happens when you let your damn point guard run your offense. And since then, he's been in the same place. He has been the facilitator. He runs this team. You know, he gets Rob involved. I can see his mind just, you know, taking in stuff. And right. Seeing how, who's going to be open, when to get the ball to JT, you know, when you're going to get the ball over and let Brown do what he needs to do. But, man, nice job by Marcus this year being that guy. And, you know, essentially this is without Ime holding his hand, you know, because Ime was – I think Ime really helped him out because he really challenged Marcus to be a better player.
A better leader.
Yeah. And then I think he grew from that and he's become a leader. And I think Joe trusts him just as much in running the offense and running the defense.
Absolutely. And he's always going to address his critics, right? I mean, that's just who Marcus is. He's going to prove them wrong. He's going to remind you of what you said before. So I love that about Marcus. And look what happened. Ended up being the defensive player of the year, because I'm not mistaken, the conversation was about him being the better on-ball defender in the NBA. Did he lose a notch or two? And he responded the following year by winning Defensive Player of the Year. But, yeah, man, congrats to Marcus. So the tweets were, I've had enough, been holding it in too long. I mean, you kind of got the feeling that he was joking. But you didn't know where he was going with it. And he goes, the next tweet goes, it's time for me to leave. And then finally he announced, oh, I forgot the rest. It's time for me to lead the single life. She said yes. Few, wow. You know, parentheses.
I did. I saw the beautiful ring that she had, and you know, she's always, yeah, all the way around, you know, around the players, and it's just really, you know, a real cool moment for him. You know, when you think about who he is as a player and what he's able to do. And, you know, and also getting your personal life together. You know, for you to be, see, Marcus is closing in on, is he 30 yet?
Almost 29, I believe.
Right around there. And I think that's when you start, as an athlete, I think you have those years, those 6 or 7 years that you're, you know, your wild oats are just, you know, you're just out there. If you're single, you're out the NBA, you're running the streets and you're doing all these things. And then when you get to be about 28, 29, I think that you start to settle a little bit more. And you're not going out as much. You're a little bit more secure. And you'll find somebody in your life that's probably a little bit more special. And I think what that does, it hones your skills a little bit more. Because now you're not thinking about all those outside distractions, but you're thinking about in-house stuff. And frankly, it's a good thing for most athletes. Now, I wouldn't say that to Tom Brady right now, but.
Damn, Max, we're just throwing him in there. We weren't even talking about him. So, matter of fact, I was just going to say, Marcus, he turned 29 in March, but you're dead on there. 28, 29, I guess he decided that.
Yeah, but when you look at Brady, Brady's what, 44?
So wait, hold on. What is this, man? What are you trying to say? He's cursed or something? You think this is
no? What, I don't think he's
been bothering him on the field.
I just look at Brady now.
And
Tom Brady has been in the spotlight with him and his wife, and say they're divorced. And you would think at the end of the day, when you have everything that you could possibly have, when you're Tom Brady and Giselle, and you're going, we're leaving each other for, we've grown apart. You're 44 now. How are you growing apart at this time?
Oh, he's living his best life, man. He gets what he wants down in Florida. He's not used to this. He's changed. He's changed over the years, ever since he put on that new that Buccaneers uniform, you know?
And not be one of them. You better realize there's a bunch of young girls down there. They fishing for the big fish out there. He'd be the big fish in the pond.
Let me ask you this though. Tell me this wouldn't be the Hollywood movie finish if throughout all this he decides, you know what, let me go back to New England. Let me just go back to my old roots, and little by little they rekindle a old romance. You know, seeing you in that Patriots jersey, Tom, it really got me thinking about the good old days.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No.
You would be so mad. You would be so mad.
No.
Why? Why can't that happen?
Well, you're starting to look, because you're looking for the future of this team. You're looking to build. Tom Brady played what? 14, 15 years?
Matt can take notes for a season.
You're looking for
just 1 year. 1 year.
Nah, you're not leaving here and then coming back here as a conquering hero to play 1 year. And because, you know, there's
some Hollywood shit though.
Here that's you Hollywood. Go. There's a guy up in Buffalo right now who's running this thing. And that quarterback up there, Allen, he's the dude in this one right now that's going forward.
Their window.
And for you to bring, for Brady to be coming back and playing in cold weather right now, no, man, you're playing down in Tampa.
That's a good point, actually. He looks so different now. What is that? What's going on?
44, are you looking to come back and play in cold-ass New England? No, you're looking for an indoor stadium. You know, someplace that you go. No, you're not looking.
His joints, his muscles and all that. They don't
want that. God. I mean, he always runs out. Let's go. No, they will be like, let's go. Let's go. I'm cold.
Like,
let's go home.
Let's go.
Let's go home. Go. Give me a blanket, somebody. So I don't know. No, I it's a nice romantic story to think about, but end of the day, no. I mean, it's just, I've seen too many players try to come back to organizations, and how many times have we really seen it work? I mean, Michael Jordan came back to the Bulls.
Oh, yeah, that was the one.
Wow, that was, but then he ended up going to Washington, and that was, I mean, Sean talks about, well, he averaged 22, and then, okay, but it really, you know, it's just like watching LeBron right now. LeBron can average 30, but LeBron is, this isn't his legacy. His legacy isn't going to be defined by what he does this year. The only thing he's going to define is when he ends up passing Kareem and having the most points ever scored in the NBA.
If you were running things in LA, what would you do? Would you just let the season play itself out? Would you try to compete in the sense of making a trade, or you just let this thing ride out?
I don't know what you can do there. I think you done messed it up so much there.
You got to ride it out.
You got Westbrook. Okay. I heard Shannon Sharp say, well, maybe the Lakers should go back and re-sign Westbrook. All right. Really? You're feeling? But you look at your money situation. You're essentially going to be over the cap already. Who are you going to go out and get as a free agent? And the free agent have to say, okay, I'm playing with Anthony Street Clothes Davis. And then I got LeBron,
Got hit with the big injury, man. He was playing unbelievable before that.
This way, it was gonna happen. I'm sorry, James Worthy. It's gonna happen. He's
how do we get here?
Charles Barkley has never had a name that was so, appropriate, and I don't wish any athlete, any harm when it comes to injuries, but man, he got to be the most snake bitten athlete maybe I've ever seen. And when it comes to a star player who's played in the league for a while, we saw some guys come in early, like Bowie, when during my time he came in from Kentucky, everybody thought he was gonna be really good, and then you look at it was a guy with Ohio State, Greg Oden.
Greg Oden.
Greg Oden was the number one pick, and you going. So there's some number one picks you look at, and some of them had been like, by injury.
This is almost as if like if KG started going down that road, right after 30. You know what I mean? Like I feel like this is sort of because he's much more talented than those guys, but obviously you can't. Your body's going one direction, and you want it to go the other way, and it's just not.
But look at Portland again. Portland Trailblazers might have made some of the biggest mistakes ever, talked to Michael Thompson about it. The Portland Trailblazers, I think they had the number two pick. They had a chance at that time to go out and get Michael Jordan, didn't get him. Did not get him to go along.
He wasn't going to mix with Drexler.
He's been perfect. You've been perfect with Drexler.
I'm kidding.
I mean, and then you say, okay, what happened with Greg Oden? The guy who was picked right after Greg Oden, Kevin Durant. I know it. That's what you – I thought I'd get you on my side in a minute going, but you didn't get Jordan, and you didn't get Durant.
When you look down the road and you think of what you would have surrounded Durant with on that team, not too far away from Dame, even Wes, that team that what was it, Wes Matthews, Robin Lopez, like he would have walked into that Aldridge in his prime, Aldridge.
Prime. Yeah,
that would have been a fun team.
So I mean, the game has changed now, and it's more about those the guys who can stretch the floor. Durant stretches the floor. Oden, the game was after when he was picked, he was already a dinosaur. The game had gone so far away from where it's like my era, the way I played at that time, the way Robert Peck, the only one I knew that really played like that would have been Larry Bird. Larry Bird could have fit into this era because he was a stretch four. We were pounding ground, we were going to kill you on the inside. I'd led the league in field goal percentage twice. Mm-hmm. What would that give you now? A cookie and a slap on the back. Nice play. Yeah, way to go. And people don't even look at that anymore.
You would have got some extra looks, with the way everything is. They would have calculated. They would have said, well, Max, if you shoot this way, the percentages say, the analytics would have been through the roof. You would have been an analytical guy. They would have liked you a lot.
I understand the analytics, free throw shooting and all that. And the game has... The game's just blossomed, man. The game is just blossoming into a game now that is, it's about shooting threes. How many times it drives me crazy, probably drives everybody else crazy. You have Al Horford going in. He's 2 feet away from the basket, and he's throwing to a dude in the corner for a 25-footer. It's like, why? Man,
my favorite is a fast break, and they just pull up at the three-point. I can still hear my high school basketball coach being like, you never take that shot. You get a layup.
Anybody's high school coach was like, Fred Harbach screaming at the time, take a layup. Yeah. Tom Heinsohn, take the layup. High percentage shots. And it's not about that anymore. The game has gone away from that.
Absolutely. All right, Max, finally, we're going to put a bow on 2022. It's that time of year. We say goodbye to 1 year, and we say hello to the next, 2023. You're not big on resolutions, right? New Year's resolutions. That doesn't seem.
Here's like one I got right here. I shoot one. Bye-bye, Draymond. See you next.
Oh, man, already? I don't know.
I would say, you still got time. And this is what I say about that. Whatever happened between Draymond and myself last year and the controversy that you called on camera, he won a championship. He won. In his world, he won. And that's all that matters. Will they get back there again? The Western Conference is so deep. Can Steph Curry, coming off injury, they're near the bottom. Somebody was saying before, is it possible that you could have Golden State and the Lakers in a play-in game? Could that be possible? I just don't see the Lakers even being that close. I mean, it's I see too many teams. The team that people don't talk about is playing well from time to time has been Sacramento. Sacramento has played really well. So you look at Sacramento, you look at Denver, you look at Portland, you look at even the team that they said that Danny Ainge traded everybody away, and that team has been really good. When you think about Utah Jazz, with Markkanen, he stepped, Laurie Markkanen stepped up and had a kind of an all-star year to open up people's eyes. How is Luka going to be? Is Phoenix are they a flash in the pan or not? So, the Clippers, will they be any good? So all these teams that are ahead of the Lakers right now, I'm telling you what, it's every time I look at your guy, Big Game James, after one of these losses, he's getting sicker and sicker.
Oh, of course. Because he knows where this is going. He knows the direction it's going.
I love it. That deep one. And the guy, I guess they call him Gators. Well, Gator, the Lakers, the way they've been playing, they had a shot, and then they didn't get it going in the right direction. Rebounding hadn't been good, and I'm not really sure.
That's spot on.
But wait a minute. But this is the same guy when the Celtics lost the championship. This is the first guy that sent out a video doing like this.
Oh man, that was I forgot about that. That's true.
He
wasn't even in it. It's like, come on, what's going on?
It's called haters, man. But when they come in this building, I can't wait for them to get here to this building. And I hope Tatum then put a 30 spot on them again, and don't let them come back this time. But yeah, this is my New Year's resolution. Not a lot. Just I think for me, it's health wise, just to get healthier. Work out a little bit more, just get your life a little bit more in perspective. Basketball, watching the Celtics has always been fun, but even to be a little bit more aggressive with our podcast. Other people have loved our podcast, and I think that I have a treat for people later on. I'm reaching out right now. Reaching out right now to Maceo Parker. And if you guys don't know who Maceo Parker is, if you happen to be a James Brown fan back in the day, or you listen to James Brown music, you'll always say, Maceo, blow your horn, Maceo. Well, Maceo Parker, it was a horn player for James Brown's band. And he was from Kinston, North Carolina. He went to my high school. Wow, high school. And later on, he played obviously with James Brown. But the bigger thing, which you didn't know, was he ended up playing with Prince. for a while. Yeah, he played with Prince. Prince was thinking, it was some story he had said that Prince asked about him or somebody was talking about him. And Prince said, isn't he dead? And the guy was like, no, he's not. Well, Prince said, reach out and get him. So I'm trying to get Maceo Parker this year just to reminisce. We just passed the passing of James Brown. I'm not sure he died on a Christmas day years ago. I got that in the works and a couple other people who are coming up. So that's going to be my New Year's resolution so far as the podcast, for us to be, you know, a little bit more consistent, bring you guys a little bit more content and, you know, maybe a few more guests like we did with Mark Spears, which I heard a lot.
That was fun, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll get him back on for sure. But yeah, that goes for the both of us, man. I think you nailed it right there with the health and remembering what's important, which is always something that I think about during the holidays, and just trying to put forth your best effort and taking care of yourself and people you love, you know. So big shout out to everyone, of course, that listen to us, that watch us on here on YouTube, CLNS Media, man. We can't thank you enough. And we're gonna bring some more heat next year for sure. We're gonna take it up a notch.
Subscribe, baby, subscribe.
Absolutely. And shout out to people who've been not only subscribing but of course leaving reviews. We got a really good review in the last couple of weeks, and they've been coming in. So we appreciate that for sure, guys. Keep that going. Anywhere you listen to us, any platform, subscribe, review, so you can continue to hear us every single time we drop a brand new episode. And we'll take it up a notch. We'll bring that heat.
Good.
And we'll keep it 100 even next year, too.
There you go. That's a must. I was waiting for you to get there, because as the one thing we do, we keep it on 100.
That's what we do here. It's a Cedric Maxwell podcast. We'll see you guys next year.
We ain't talking about the 100. We keep it on the 100. And if you don't know what the 100 is, go ask some of your black friends. They'll tell you.
That's right. We'll see you guys next week.